thinking about the different analogies in the scriptures, the Lord used a lot of things for us to understand, like the parable of the sower, because we can understand natural things, put them in terms that we can understand the spiritual things. There was a lot of things like that in the scriptures. It's not unusual to me that it'd be that way. God made it all, and so His fingerprints is on it all. So I'd like to look at one thing in particular. I'd like to think a little bit about smell. I know that's probably an unusual thing to say, and it'll probably make you, I don't know why how to explain this, but it will probably make you chuckle a little bit. There is something funny about it, and just can't help it. It just is. When you start talking about smell, you usually, there's something just that makes us laugh about it. But I was thinking back when I was young, there's a lot of very pleasant smells in my memory from growing up. My mom used to get up every morning before we did. I remember a lot of times hearing the radio. Well, I still remember some of the old country songs, actually, that was playing back at that time when I was young. And my mom would get up and she would perk a pot of coffee. Now, I never acquired a taste for coffee. But the smell of coffee is still very, very pleasant to me. Anytime I smell coffee, it is a very pleasant, if you want to say homey, pleasant smell to me. Brings back good memories in my mind. I also have it's very pleasant for me to smell bread baking. Homemade bread baking is a very pleasant smell. It's pleasant to eat too, but it's pleasant. It's a very pleasant smell. There's something about bacon. There's something about the smell of bacon that is a very pleasant thing. I still have in my mind a very pleasant idea of clover. Of white clover. Our yard where I grew up was full of white clover, and I, as a small child, I was down in it a lot on the ground, and I've got a very pleasant memory. And I don't go rolling around on the ground much anymore, to be honest with you. It may be a little more unseemly for a 56-year-old man to be rolling around on the ground than it is a 6-year-old boy. But when I do happen to be down in the clover and smell it, it's very pleasant thought to me to have that. We had lilac bush where I grew up, and the lilacs, I actually picked some off of, Dina don't know this yet, but I actually picked some lilacs off of a bush the other day, and they're at the house, and I smelled them this morning, and the memory was there of the lilac bush that we had at the house. It's a very pleasant thing, and it's no doubt God made us with all these things, and they're linked to us somehow or another. The Bible uses odor and smell also as an analogy. You ever hear the expression, boy, that stinks? Well, you probably, I've said it, I know, and I'm not promoting slang statements, but I've used that before. Not that I smelled anything. But it's a statement of something that's unpleasant. To say that stinks brings a certain amount of displeasure to us. And if you get into it a little bit, you will smile at it. And again, I can't answer the reason why. There's something funny about it, but there is something funny about it. But there is unpleasant things. We had a few years ago, there was a skunk that liked to frequent our house and under the house, and I remember one time I have a valve on my tank, and all it does is run through the floor. And if I want to drain the tank, my water tank, I can drain it by letting it run out in under the house. And I did that one time, and I didn't know. I must have been awfully close to where the skunk lived in under there, because I drained my tank in under there, and he didn't like it. And I soon found out what they do when they don't like something, and it wasn't pleasurable. It wasn't pleasurable at all, and it lingered for quite a while. And there's a number of things that I think that we would say, as much as some things are pleasant to our senses and brings fondness to us, there's also displeasure in odor that comes. A skunk can be one, but there's other things. We have a reoccurring problem at the house. I have a busted drain line, and it's only evident if it plugs up. But the drain, the kitchen drain, comes out in under the house. That's a very unpleasant. All that food decaying and all, you know, a drain is just an unpleasant, it's a very unpleasant smell that just, I can say that stinks. I sometimes will say that when I come in. I said, yes, as both an analogy and the actual odor. There is people that I've known before whose hygiene wasn't really good that put on perfume. I think that's one of the most unpleasant things to me, to try to hide something with perfume. I don't mind. As a matter of fact, I think Linda's got some perfumes that I think is just wonderful, but I wouldn't want the mixture of it's not a good thing. The odor is what I'm saying. I want to deal with this more in the way the Bible deals with it. Over in 2 Samuel, there's a story here, a very interesting story. I'm just going to read one verse, but I want to get what the story is. David had a fellow king of the children of Ammon, I believe, that he had had some dealings with, and the man died. So David, in a sense of mourning, the man died and his son took over his reign. And David had a sense of mourning, and he wanted to show that sense of mourning. So he sent of the children of Israel, he sent mourners to the man's son to tell him that they were sorry for what happened and all. So he sends them to him, and when they got there, his counselors told him basically that David was sending spies in on him. And so they took the men that David had sent to him and shaved half their beards off. They just said half their face, they shaved it off. And then they ripped their clothes halfway off all the way down. So they only had half a garment on and only had half a beard and half their hair. And they sent them off in disgrace because of it. That's what they did to shame them. Well, nobody would want to run around like that. Of course. So when they come back and told David, David told them to stay when they sent message. David told them to stay in a certain place and not come back till their beards were grown back out, so there wouldn't be shame on them. And that was the setting of this story. And the sixth verse says, and when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David. I can imagine why they thought that they stank before David. David had, in goodwill, sent his respect to them, and they shamed him. And when they realized what they'd done, they said, "We stink. We stink before him." There's an analogy here that goes to the New Testament church. Jesus came in pity. You realize Jesus came to a fallen race. Jesus came to people that was undone, that need his help so bad. And he came heartfelt and willing. to do whatever it takes. I mean, imagine this great love that he came willingly to suffer the shame, the indignity, all that he came for. He came to do it willingly. He came to us to bring us salvation. Done it willingly with his whole heart. And they called him Beelzebub. Boy, they stank. They really stank. And then he reaching out, never was there an accusation on him that could be proven. Oh, there was a lot of accusations, but there was nothing that they could say about him that was true. When people needed something, he fulfilled it. When they were hungry, he fed them. They needed wine, he turned the water into wine. When they were sick, he healed their sicknesses. When they was lame, he gave their legs strength to walk. When they was blind, he gave them vision in their eyes. When they couldn't hear, he gave them their hearing back. Jesus done all that, and when they were people, whether of their own faults or not, when they had been taken over by the enemy, he come and cast the spirits out. When there was a legion, he come and sent legion away and restored a man. He done all that in proving and comes and says to those that had sinned, everyone, go and sin no more. Your sins be forgiven you. He done all of these things, reached out so much. And they rejected it. Not only did they reject it and just say, I don't want it, but they made him out to be the worst of criminals. That stinks. Well, I know I'm not preaching to the world. I'm preaching to group saints. But it's sad, our world today. I think that there is an awful stench going up from our world today. That in God's, the blessing that God has given this nation, the prosperity of our nation, and there's no thanks to God. The prosperity of this nation is expended in evil works. Abortion being applauded. I would say, if I could say it, that stinks. I think the whole aroma that goes up before God is displeasure. When I walk into our kitchen when I haven't got the pipe cleaned out, and it don't dry out under there, and I start smelling that, it stinks. It's not a pleasant smell. I don't want to sit down and be comfortable in it. You want to know what you can do, though? We know this by cooking ramps in the house. I don't think ramps stink. Just for the record. They're smelly. But I was raised with them, right? And to me, but I, if you wanted to make the argument, I wouldn't argue about it. They have an aroma. And I think if you get, when I haven't eaten them and you have, I think that stinks. When I smell them on you, it stinks. Breath stinks. But I know there's some cooking in the house. You can cook them in the house and eat them, and then you can sit in the house without smelling them. You go out in the fresh air for an hour and come back in and say, "Whoa, this house stinks, smells like ramps." You can get used to the foulness of it. The corruptness of it. Our world, and again, I know I'm not preaching to the world, but it saddens me to see the way the world has gone. God made His creation and said, it is good. He made man and said, it's very good. And it says that he made them male and female. And you can argue biology all you want to, but he made them male and female. Made he them. And God knew what he wanted to do. And yet the world without thanksgiving to God, for the great world we live in and the prosperity of our time, our time without war, in a land of peace that we have, without thankfulness of God, decides that they're going to turn to their own way. If I don't want a child, I can abort it. If I want to be something else, I'll be something else. Or if everybody can be something else. The whole defilement of it is sad. Well, again, we're not preaching to everybody. But to us, we are to want to God, for God to be pleased with what comes out with our greatest sense of worship, our greatest duty as Christian people is to send up an aroma that's pleasing to God. Lord, my life, I give to you that it's acceptable to you. To not think that the Lord has to turn, that it's a stench in His nostrils. Well, Lord, help us that we live in that kind of capacity, in that kind of a way. These people recognize something pretty quickly. They stank before David. They looked and said, that must be a real stink to him, to what we've done. I want to look at another scripture over in Philippians 4 and 8, 4 and 18. I'll go back a little bit. 13th verse says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full and have received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. Now, I'm a realist about this thing, about living for God. I try to be. We have to deal with our thoughts and our intentions. It's more, Paul said here of their actions and of their deeds. You've sent to my needs, my necessities. And I want to give you praise for that, but not because I was fulfilled, but because your fruit was shining out. Because that's evidence that you have it. That you have what you're supposed to have. That your heart responded. We have to do more than pretend in this. Lord, help me. The biggest battle I face is always between my fingers. It always is. And it still is. The battle of getting it right, because that's what God smells. God's smelling what I really am putting off. What kind of aroma do I really send up? I can make any kind of statement, but to really say, I'm thankful for this trial. Okay? All right. I know the Christians say that. But I also know how many times my heels dig in. I know what I'm really saying about it. And listen, I'm not trying to take our humanity away. I know we're going to be that. We'll always be that, and we'll always have to deal with it. And that's why our mercy ought to run long. Because we're all in the same battle of trying to make it. The reality of it is it's got to be more than the show of what I do. It's really what I am. It really comes down to what I am. And when I mean it and say, Lord, I want to go to heaven and I want you to deal with me, He'll do it. He'll do it. And I want it to be something that's real to God. This was real to Paul because he looked at it and said, I'm not saying this because you met my need, but because of the fruit that you had of doing it. Another scripture I want to look at is in Revelations. I think of the memories that I have of the pleasant odors of my life. And it makes me to think of having a pleasantness that God would be pleased with. Something that comes out of our being that the Lord says, that smells good. That's a pleasant thing. Linda likes candles, scented candles. What's the other thing? Wax mounts, scented wax mounts. It's almost a daily thing at our home that something's lit or something's smelling. There's a reason for that. It's pleasant. It gives you a sense of something that's worth something. It's valuable. It's peace. Know what I mean? It's the peace of home. It's that somebody cares. It's something that's worth something. This is where we live. This is valuable. I'm not saying it's not valuable if you don't. I'm just saying that there's some sense of why you do that. And then we have these, I'll be honest with you, I'm a critic. Okay, I'm a critic. I don't know if there's any value in putting these oils in this thing. We have. As a matter of fact, I don't think there is for a lot of it. But I still say, honey, sometimes when we go to bed, there's a pleasant, soft light on that turns kind of purple and green. And this vapor comes up and this pleasant aroma kind of fills the place. And you know, you can claim that, hey, this stuff make you do one thing or other, or this is this or that. I don't know about all that, but I know the sense of being in some place where I belong and having a pleasantry like that and a calmness around it. Well, if it's worth anything, it's at least worth that. There's something valuable, very valuable about that to me. And I'll be honest with you, I enjoy it. And sometimes when everything's stressed out and mine's running 100 to nothing, works for me. Something's nice about it. Over here in Revelations, I want to get 5th chapter first. Sixth verse says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, all that ain't interpreted, so I'm not going to attempt to do it. But that last phrase is interpreted. They had the odors, the angels. They had these vials and they were full of these odors. And it says what they are. They're the prayers of the saints. Isn't that beautiful? When you're sincere, listen, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This is put into this. If you could take this one with you. That the Lord is saying in the analogy that sweet smell that you're offering God, that you believe in Him, you trust Him, He's your Father, He's all in all. If He don't help you, who can? The need of that, the effectual, fervent prayer is handed to the angels. And they hold the odor before God. In that, He smells it. Pleasant. He cares about that. Who was it? Which one of the prophets was it? One of the prophets? Was it Samuel? That was testified that not one of these words the Lord let fall to the ground. That was saying of His prophecies. When he prophesied it, the Lord wasn't going to let that hit the ground. When he prayed. Not, you ever hear of Samuel? That didn't go to the ceiling. Samuel's did. Not one of his words hit the ground, the scripture says. God paid attention. The angel took, he was sincere and fervent, and God took it, and the angel took it and gave it to God. The smell of our life. It's important. The effectual fervent prayer, just anything don't work. Well, I'll haphazardly go prayer. Don't work. Fervency, desire, passion, righteousness. You got to do it right. The smell ain't right if it don't. The scripture, you know what's the most, well, my son-in-law Trent was a law enforcement officer for a little while, you all knew. And we was talking one day, and he said, you know what the worst odor is? You know what the worst odor is to have to deal with? What do they call it? DOAs. Dead on arrivals. A dead human body. That, he said, that's the worst. He said, it's the worst smell? Well, some of you may have had to deal with that. I don't know. But in the scriptures, the worst of the smells that go up God is flesh. Our dirty flesh. When we send up of our lives, our flesh, and spiritually speaking, the old corruptible flesh, that is a smell. So Lord, help us in our pursuits. God has so much that He wants for us. We owe Him. We owe Him. I want the Lord to help me that what I send up to Him in the quiet moments of my life, when I'm sitting all alone, when I'm out running or working by myself, the thoughts, the feelings, all of what goes up before God, I hope it's like a bouquet of lilacs or maybe a bed of white clover. Or something that's just cinnamon for some reason. I don't know if y'all know cinnamon. Cinnamon in them wax melts. I don't know. It's just something about the sweetness of it. Something is just pleasant about it. He said that it was the golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Over in 8th chapter of Revelations, and when he had opened the seven seals, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. And I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. Now listen, this is an angel, listen. And there was another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now here again is the same. Isn't that a beautiful picture of our prayers? You ever burn incense? I haven't done it for years, but it used to be back in the 70s growing up, it was kind of the thing. You know, you had these little incense sticks or these little pyramid incense things that you lit the top, and they put up these pleasantries that you put up, and I don't know, it was kind of the hippie movement, I think, to be honest with you. It was a time, maybe they still do it some, but it was a kind of a time for it, I guess. But it was a pleasant thing. It had a sweet smell to it. Here's another beautiful picture of the saints. Listen, the saints, the people of God, the people that hold God dear, the people that have sacrificed everything for God. These are the ones that give their life, their hope, their dream. This is the ones that give everything to God. This is the one that believe in God in a perverse generation. These are the people that are willing to give their literal life in the pursuit of God. What a beautiful picture. He says he takes the golden censer, which is full in the incense, and he mixes it with the prayers of the saints. And so, again, it's an illustration, an analogy of our lives and our prayers ascending to God in an incense. That God, if you can get the picture of however you could visualize God. Nice. That's honor. That's worship of the truest sense. People given more than a Sunday morning. It's people given their heart, their life, their devotion to God. And that's really what it's all about. In Ecclesiastes, it says the whole duty. Because here, the conclusion of the matter. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandment. To have a life that is acceptable. That God accepts the life, our works, our deeds, ultimately our prayers. Our prayers. I hope you'll share with me the burden and idea that I'd like to have more power with God. I'd like for God to be pleased to show Himself strong among us. Hear our prayers when we need them. He does. But Lord, what else? Where's our part? What else can you do? What else can we do for you? Is there a place to where we can have more power of deliverance at our altars? More deliverance for the things that the devil does. but more deliverance for the habits of life. Well, you know, I have a dream. I have a dream that this place will be completely packed. I'd like to see more people come. I'd like to see people saved. I'd like to see more of that. I'd like to see a strong deliverance from the power of flesh and sin. I'd like to see more power in my own life, overcome the carnal tendencies. I'd like to see more power for us to lay hands on and have deliverances from whatever we need. Because we serve God. We serve God. And oh, it's just such a beautiful picture to me, is saying I don't have to be anything. There's a golden vial. I don't want, why did he call it golden? Both places he called it golden. Precious, valuable thing that the prayers of the saints were in. And it was lifted up to God as something that was special. I would hate, and this is the way my mind works, what would it smell like if it had just a little chunk of rotten hamburger in it? What if it was one little chunk of rotted flesh? You know, the ones that the maggots are on, like. Well, you can smell the aroma. The lilacs, you can smell the lilacs in among the... Lord, help me keep my flesh out of this. Lord, help me to keep the corruptible. Give us grace and help us to keep our hands off what you're trying to do and be pure in the sense of, Lord, I offer myself to you.